Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great, big, vast world of ours. You are listening to Purpose Talk Radio. I am your host, Cindy Freeman. And today is January 22nd, 2016. And our topic today is going to be spirituality versus religion versus self-belief versus intuition, all of that, and how they differ, how they are the same, how they affect our life and our purpose. And so I'm not the end-all and be-all on that, I guarantee it. A lot of it's going to be my perception of it, and I'd love to hear yours in this as well. And the hope that you can be part of the discussion. Well, that's interesting. I'm being told that the show is not airing. Well, hopefully it is. And my person who just told me that is letting me know that it really does work. Because we are broadcasting live. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the song that you just heard. And that is by the group True Trinity. It is called I Am Who I Am. Vocalist Jillian Clark, as well as the co-writers Rachel Grace and myself on that. You can find them at True Trinity, TRUETRINITY.com. And there's that song as well as one called Be the Difference over there. So you're welcome to purchase those if you'd like or to hear the song in its entirety. Because that's where you get it. If you'd like, this show is brought to you every Friday afternoon, noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. in the UK. My guests or my topics are about living your purpose, things that you can use to determine for yourself what your purpose is and how to achieve it. My guests who come on are people who are living their purpose, and I ask them to share how they came to know it, how they came to achieve it, and things that you can do based on what they know to serve perhaps your own purpose. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can do so by getting a hold of me by email. And the best way to do that is cindy@purposetalkradio.com. Again, C-I-N-D-Y at P-U-R-P-O-S-E-T-A-L-K-R-A-D-I-O.com. This show is brought to you by True Visions Travel. And they are an organization that can service your travel needs anywhere from an individual through any size groups. And they do specialize in making arrangements for travel, people that need individualized accommodations. You can find that site at truevisionstravel.com, TRUEVISIONSTRAVEL.com, and both domestic in the United States as well as internationally. So, let's see, what other kind of fun things do we need? Oh, if you'd like to be a sponsor on the show also, you can do that simply by going to our website and sending email on that as well. All of the, what do we call them, advertising, accommodations, fun things that we like to put at the beginning and the end of our show to let you know who we are and what we do. And I'd like to get into the topic. Oh, yes, if you'd like to be a part of the discussion of this show, there are several ways that you can do that. The first is to go down to the chat room at the very bottom of the page here on the show page, and hopefully that decides to open as it should. You can put your comments in that chat room, if you'd like, during the show. However, once the show does end, those comments do disappear. So if you have anything to say that you want to continue and go into further discussion, I invite you instead over to our Facebook page or through a direct email. And that Facebook page is at Radio Conversations. And momentarily there will be a chat open in there that will be pinned to the top of the page. And that stays there until the next week or something else comes up that we'd like to pin to the top. Otherwise, it does scroll down on the page, and that's okay. Then you can just kind of look for it based on the date and put any comments that you might have in there as whether you're listening to it, the show, archived or live. That's the good part about that conversations group. We are just 3 shy of 400 fans and members over there. And so I hope that you invite your friends to join us as well in that group. Okay, now we are done. So, and I know somebody would just remind me, you can also call in or Skype into the show. You can call in at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074 if you'd like to call in, or you can Skype in using the Skype icon next to the phone number. And that is also on the show page. All right, now we got all that out of the way. Now somebody's calling me, and I don't know who that is, so we're just going to let them go into the voicemail. Hopefully that does not disrupt our show here. And we seem to have lost a connection there. I apologize for that. So we are back into the show. Anyway, as we were saying, you know, there are folks who will agree with what I've got to say on defining these various words, and there's ones that don't. And hopefully, you know, you call in, you'll Skype in, you'll put your comments in the chat box, and we can have a discussion about this. And the biggest thing I'm going to say that, you know, I'd love to have people share their spiritual, religious, or whatever beliefs they have, and that there will not be any, there may be some disagreements, but I don't want any battles or disrespect as we discuss this topic, because there may very possibly be people with differing opinions. In fact, I'm sure there will be people with differing opinions. And they are the ones that know what they believe and what they don't believe, right? So we can't comment on how somebody else is feeling about something. Okay, with that in mind, I don't know where I just got the feedback from, and hopefully that is gone. Okay, what we want to discuss for today is differences between spirituality, religion, faith, self-belief. I even throw in that intuition. There are people who say they don't have any belief. They are agnostic or the atheist or whatever that case may be. A lot of people subscribe to a certain religion. What that might mean, Catholic, Lutheran, Unity, Methodist, Jehovah's Witness, Baha'i, Muslim. I can't even begin to define how many different religions there are in the world. In fact, they could probably do a search on that and come up with some outlandish number as to how many religions there are in the world. And I tend to say that there are even more faiths in the world, because I know many people believe
most of their faith tradition. And on the other hand, I know people who say, I can only do this little part, but it's more than I can do with other ones. And that's, I guess, where I look at more of a faith versus a religion. And to me, the biggest part of that then is, or the widest part is the spirituality, which for me encompasses just about everything and all of that. Now, again, whether people agree or disagree, that's fine. You're welcome to comment on it otherwise. Well, if I did a Wikipedia search, there really are not that many religions listed. But I know there's a lot more than are in there. Until, of course, you scroll down and then there's a whole lot more. They're even saying that there are some that don't exist anymore. So I find that kind of interesting. I wonder where that's come about, if they have attritioned into other ones, or if they have just, you know, it was such a small belief structure, maybe so, I don't want to say stringent, but maybe that is the best word for it. And so stringent that, you know, there was a limited number of people that were part of it. Maybe it was created for a certain group of people. It really doesn't matter. You know, again, it's where are we in this? Okay. So, I think most part of what I have been able to witness is that the biggest difference in a religion, specifically where people worship typically once a week. And it seems like there is a breakdown between Christianity and Christian and non-Christian for a large group, so to speak, of them. There are some people that say there are pretty much five major religions in the world. Others say that there are seven that I've come to, been able to understand. Some say there's a few more. But for the most part, if they lump the Christianity together into one a lot of times. You know, some say there's a dozen. So again, it depends on, you know, how you define those. You know, I've got one website that said, for instance, that there are a dozen. And of course, being the biggest of Christianity. And then they go down to Islam, then the secular, non-religion, agnostic, atheist being one group together. I find that a little interesting. Hinduism, then Chinese traditional religions, Buddhism, primal indigenous, African traditions, Sikhism. Oh boy, there's one that I can't pronounce. J-U-C-H-E, Juka, perhaps? Spiritism and Judaism. And they're saying that those were the largest in the world. Again, I don't know. Because it really depends what your sources are. When they look at the five, it would be Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. I tend, again, to add that there are those that say they are atheist, agnostic, or have no belief structure whatsoever as being part of that also. Because their belief structure is that there is no God, or that their God is something other than what others say it is. Does it really matter? No. People often ask me what I believe here. And right now, I attend a Unity Church. I believe that that the world is open to having many belief structures, that for me, whatever people believe is their reality. It's not something I have to interfere with. I have to change. I have to argue with them. I love discussing with people where they are and why they believe what they do. If I hear, well, I was raised that way. You know, to me, that is a religion versus a spirituality. It means that they are subscribing to something that is set, that's a tradition. Whereas for me, if I hear someone say my faith tradition is, or my spirituality is, and they define something that is typically, for instance, if my faith tradition is Catholic, my faith tradition is Buddhist, or my spirituality is Buddhism, to me, that's a way of saying that they really have incorporated that into their life, into their very being, their cell, their activity, and to who they are, as opposed to something that might be more rote, that might be just something that they follow because their family has. And I'm not saying that religion is only that. Understand that, please. But that's where a lot of people come from in their, when they just say my religion is it's because that's what they've done all their life or how they've been their whole life. And so that's where I think the biggest difference is. When we look at the self-beliefs and self-doubts, both sides of that, I think one of the differences there is that, you know, I think we all have a bit of intuition, a bit of a belief in ourselves. But where does that come from? Does it come from a greater power greater than ourselves? Does it come from our experience? Come from? Does anybody really know? Again, for me, that intuition is something greater than me. It's a combination of my faith in something bigger, better, greater than me, and it is based on my experience in life. You know, if I, for instance, think that I'm supposed to go somewhere and that I'm supposed to go a certain way, I'm supposed to follow a certain path, go this street, take this bus, all of that. And it happens that I avoid that, and then something else happens. I have to wonder what told me to go the other way, and if I had gone that way, what would have happened better? Because of many of my experiences in life, when I get those little voices, I pretty much know I'm supposed to follow them. When I get those little inklings, I know I'm supposed to follow them, because if I don't, when I look back and I wonder why something happened, I'll be saying, oops, why didn't I trust that? So, I'm hoping somebody else would like to call in and chat with this. On this and see where what you might think on that. But I'll tell you what, let me oops, I just lost the page that I wanted on that. That I was going to give you. So we're going to go through some of this in a little different thing here for you. You know, I guess if I look at, again, Wikipedia, and I look at
what they say. You know, the religion is a collection of cultural norms, belief systems. If we look at it was one site I was able to find that it listed like all of the religions supposedly in alphabetical order. And it's amazing as I go through them. What they are. And of course, paganism is part of that. You know, what do we worship? What do we believe? Is it a god? Is it an animal? Is it a tree? Is it a love of life? I look at some of the 12-step programs, and there are people that walk in there and don't really, they're at their wit's end. They have given up on life. They have given up on anything they might have believed in their past life. And yet, one of the first steps is came to believe in a power greater than ourselves. And sometimes all people can handle in those steps. To look at that power greater than himself is that it might be the food or the alcohol or the drugs or the whatever that is claiming and taking over their lives. Sometimes that's all they can do. And that those addictions, those things have become such a part of their life that that is their religion. That is their spirituality. That is all they can trust in. For me, that's hard. But I've seen it, and I've seen people open and change their belief once they go through programs. Not everybody does, though. And that's okay. Because, again, even in that type of situation, for some people, a 12-step program is their religion. Because that's where they find their most spirituality. That's where they find their closest connection to a God, a higher power, a higher source. And then there's others that turn their life over in such a way that they go totally the opposite way. And what used to be their God in their addiction is what they turn the most away from. And even in their terminology, it could be the devil, can be that negative piece of them that they no longer want anything to do with. I think we all evolve through life, in our spiritual, in our spirituality, and in our faith, and in our beliefs. You may find that I think that I'm using these words interchangeably, and I think there are times in our lives where they are interchangeable, where they all mean the same thing. And then I think there's other times where using them very, very differently. Excuse me. And we find that they are separating how we operate in life. So, and here's where I look at the difference. You know, to me, the spirituality extends beyond what that expressed religion is, beyond what that church, synagogue, temple, building that a lot of people worship in. It goes out and beyond that. It's like it's a dimension, a feeling that people subscribe to that brings them harmony, that brings them peace, that's understanding. And again, a lot of times that can be found in that connection can be found in music or the arts. It can be found in the religion or in a building But I think it goes far beyond that. For me, when I sit out in nature, when I am by water, and when I see a fire, I'm like it when I was camping, when I was a kid, I so loved sitting around a campfire and just staring into it. I'd have my guitar often, and I'd just start playing while I'm staring in the fire. And I would have this deep connection to something that I didn't even know what it was. I just had this feeling that I was connected to something so much greater. Now, yes, fire can destroy. Water can destroy. People can destroy. We know that. And we know that we can also find good in all of that. I think a lot of us search for something beyond the religion we were brought up in. We search for that spirituality, that individualized connection to something beyond. Curious, you know, if you're in the chat room or if you're on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group, what I'd like people to share is what brings you the connection to your spirituality. And I'd also like to know what religion or spirituality you subscribe to, if you have one. If you'd like to call in, it's 347-205-9074. And 347-205-9074. And if you do call in, press the number 1 if you'd like to talk on the air. And then I'll bring you in. Otherwise, I think you're just listening. And you can just listen through the phone line as well. So we have a comment from Siren Speak. To me, everything is spirituality. Okay? So what does that mean? I'm guessing it means everything you write, draw, decide, all the people you connect with. Cool place to be. Okay, so the other part, the self-belief. And I think it touched on it just a little bit. In that, you know, a lot of times that's just, you know, where are we? When we stop for a minute, what happens to us? When we wait and see and get out of our own mind, what can we hear? What can we be? To play a song here and check on some of these callers that we've got here. Friend Mona Garcia, who you folks have heard about, has given permission to use her song. And I think it's real appropriate at this point. And I'd like you to hear it and see if it brings anything for you. And the song is called Power of Angel. And I'll be back in a few moments. Again, that song was called Power of Angels. I've been given permission to use that song by Mona Garcia. And you can find her music at monadreams.com. MonaDreams.com. And you can also find her on Facebook. You can find her, Mona Garcia, or Mona Garcia Pianist Keyboardist. Are her two sites on Facebook. So, actually, you can find Mona's music at MonaGarciaMusic.com. I may have misspoke that. So, we do have one caller that would like to join us. And I'm going to bring her on the air at this point. Hopefully, all works as it should.
Hello. Greetings.
Hello. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio.
Thank you.
You have some comments or things to share with us?
Just mostly support, because what a great topic, you know, so who wouldn't want to be part of that? You asked what I meant by when I said I think everything's spirituality. Well, based on my beliefs, my personal beliefs that I've come to on my own, I think I believe in God. And to me, God is everything. That's the word for when you don't know what to call it. It's God, and it's good. So when the popular word now is to say the universe, but when people say the universe, and I often do with friends, I know when I say it, I actually mean God. So I think you see God in the face of a friend, in a flower, in a star, in the sky. Anytime you see something or feel something good, that's a spiritual experience to me. And we're having them 24/7. You can't get away from it. So to me, God is closer to us than water and wet, you know.
There you go. Were you brought up in a faith tradition?
Sort of. My mom was Southern Baptist and my dad was Methodist. And so my mom told me that every single thing I did, I was facing hellfire and brimstone. And my dad went to church every Sunday because that's what you did. So, and based on my own personality, neither of those traditions worked for me at all. So I found in my own study of the Bible, I found the words that made the most sense to me and changed how I looked at everything. Pretty simple. God is love. And when I started reasoning out what that meant, it gave me a very different picture than what I was raised with. When I was in my 20s, I came across a book called, I won't get it right, it's either The Greatest Thing in the World or it was by a pastor in the Victorian era named Henry Drummond, and he takes the famous chapter or well-known portion of the Bible by the Apostle Paul, known as 1 Corinthians 13, and it's the thing, you know, if I speak with the tongue of men and angels but have not love, I am blah, 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 blah. Well, he goes through it bit by bit and says, if you understand love, you can never think to do any of those things. If you really loved your neighbor, you would never think to covet anything he owns. You would never think to compete with him. It goes on and on, and it kind of takes away all the character traits we struggle with, because it's saying when you get love, meaning if when you understand love, it would never occur to you to behave in those ways because those aren't part of love. So that really changed me, and I've always gravitated towards the thought that was going on in the Victorian era. And so the writings of the female trailblazer, Mary Baker Eddy, have been huge for me in understanding metaphysics. And then the other thing that has always colored my approach was I've always had an interest in astrophysics. And so understanding stuff on a quantum level and seeing how, you know, science and spirituality, to me, they're the same thing because they're truth, you know? So to me, science is the quest for truth. And, you know, if you're into a faith tradition, for me, the most amazing example I've ever found is the life of Jesus as we understand it. I don't know if it's all true or not, but it doesn't matter, because what I've learned about life and how to treat people, it doesn't matter if there never even was someone like Jesus. It's changed me completely. So because of my interest in, like I said, astrophysics, and my interest in finding out what love is, and finding out, my goal has always been to understand how the universe works. And my understanding of Christianity has done that for me, because it's on a micro and a macro level. So, you know, Christianity to me, if you follow what Jesus said, it's the application of unconditional love. And for me, going with more of the physics, the astrophysics, it's an understanding of truth. And to me, they're the same thing, truth and love. So.
And that makes sense.
Big scale. But then, because that's my standpoint, everything comes out of that, if that makes sense, as far as my beliefs go. And I personally don't like to go to church, but I do, because I like to support something that I get, that I know helps other people. But to me, that's just a matter of we all learn differently. Some people read by hearing, some people learn by reading, others learn by doing. So everyone has a different way they learn. And so to me, church is a valuable tool. That's the way some people learn, is in that environment with peers and fellowship and all that. Not for me. All my learning is done when I'm quiet and on my own. But out of respect and support for those who need that structure, that's why I support church. Yeah, but I don't say I don't get anything out of it, but the main thing I get out of it is giving. You know, yeah. If churches ever went away, I don't think I would
be
fine. Lose that.
But
since it's not all about me, and other people do need that, I support that for whoever needs it.
Okay. The book you mentioned is called The Greatest Thing in the World.
Oh, thank you.
Henry Drummond, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I tend to agree with you on that. You know, God is love, you know, and if we can find that God or that love, or whichever way you want to go, in other people, you'll find the other one.
Yeah.
You know, if you look for love, because, you know, you don't you can't see God in them, you just like, if you can find the love somewhere, you're going to find the God. And if you can find God in someone, you'll be able to love them in spite of whatever might be challenging you about them.
Did you ever see the movie Contact?
No.
It was Jodie Foster. It was about, you know, the what's that thing called in Nevada River or New Mexico, the Great Array. Anyway, it's all about science versus faith. And what's his name? Matthew McConaughey is a pastor or something. Jodie Foster works with SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and they finally made contact. And so there's one point that she says, how can you believe in God when there's no empirical evidence? And I was so excited for what the answer might be in that movie, and the answer was faith. I'm like, oh, really? But to me, I thought, well, the answer is so obvious. For example, love. You can't see love. You can't measure it. You can't, you know, use any sort of scientific criteria to find it, but you know it when you feel it. You know, you can't do that with humor either, but you know when you think something's funny. So to me, the stuff that's the most tangible is the stuff that can't be quantified or qualified with material measurements, because that's using a limited, finite approach to something that's infinite. So that's why it never works. So that's why if you look for God trying to, and for me, God has never been an old guy with a beard on the cloud. He's not like, not anthropomorphic. He's not like the Greek and Roman gods who I grew up with and adored, because, you know, I found mythology when I was 8 years old and I just was smitten. But that's fun and I adore it. And it's great for learning lessons and allegories and all that. But that to me isn't God. To me, God is, you know, the flowers and the laugh of a child and the crashing of the sea and the majesty of the sunset and the Grand Canyon and, And also the man-made wonders of the world. I'm blown away when I see a gorgeous stained glass in a cathedral or whatever. But to me, those are all expressions of God. God to me is more than the sum of the parts, but it's everything. And I think that's why you can't miss it. So as far as spirituality, as I said, if people need to go to church, that's great because that's what works for them. And to me, intuition is just listening. It's that simple. And I think those are little angel messages that come to us all the time when they say, take the other road. And sometimes you think, oh, I'm so much later. There's traffic on this road. I shouldn't have done it. You may have missed being in an accident because you did it. Or there are times when you know you've listened, when you're about to leave, you've got the keys in the car, and all of a sudden you remember something that you were supposed to take with you, and you run back in and get it. But to me, those are little angel messages, and they're coming to us all the time. Sometimes we're so busy mentally that we don't listen to them or heed them, and other times we do. But to me, that's just our connection with God. That's always God talking to us in ways that we understand. The way God talks to me individually would probably shock and appall other people. The way God interacts with me is with a wicked sense of humor and very, you know, intimately. God, there's somewhere, I think it's in Isaiah, I don't know where, but again, I read the Bible, and there's somewhere that says, thy maker is thy husband. Well, I take that, in my case, I take it literally. I don't take everything literally because it's an inspirational document, so I don't think personally that we're supposed to be reading it literally as much as getting the spirit versus the letter. But it occurred to me once, yeah, I think God is my husband. That's who, meaning not just husband in our modern sense, but, you know, like the husbandry, you know, that the one who takes care of us and looks after us and meets all our needs and provides for us. And, you know, I know that we're in a culture right now of really praising and celebrating the idea of being a co-creator. I personally don't think I am a co-creator because I think it was already created, not in a creationistic mentality. I don't think God made the world 6,000 years ago. I think those are very, very limited approaches to something infinite and vast and eternal. But I think, you know, it's all already done and it's ever unfolding. So I just try to tap into the incredible good, the eternal now that I believe in, and that's why it never gets old. And I don't personally think that, you know, I die. I don't think I was born. I think I've always been here because I believe in eternity and infinity. And I don't know what happened before I was supposedly born any more than I could tell you what I ate on July 12th of 1976 for lunch. I mean, I could reason that one out to try to guess it, but I don't remember it actually. You know what I mean? So if, you know, I try to figure out, okay, how old I was and where I was doing, yeah, I could try to reason it out, but it doesn't mean I actually remember it. So I just think that every moment is the eternal now, and every moment is really fun because it's not a, you know, time is linear, but physicists have known since the 20s that there's no such thing as time and space. They've been able to prove that. So if there's no time and space, what does that leave us with? Infinity and eternity. And I think it's all a blast. And I think the more I understand God, the more I understand how incredible we as God's children are. And that makes me far more able to love myself and see myself in a better light and then translate that to my fellow man or vice versa. You know, to me, that's kind of a package deal. The minute you're doing it for yourself, you're doing it for your fellow man. The minute you're doing it for your fellow man, you're doing it for yourself, meaning the way you view yourself and your fellow man. So I try every day to get a better picture of, to me, how cool God is. And then by translation, how cool that means we are and what we can expect in the way of an amazing life. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you're Isaiah. And if you go back to the old King James, it's for thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole of earth shall he be called. So, okay, that makes some sense. I like the last part. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. So I can't find, I have to look these up. Anytime somebody says it's like, I can't tell you where it is. There's a very few, you know, that I can call and give you. There's one of the Isaiah ones about living your purpose. Of course, you know, that being this show, I know that one, and I know where it is, and I know all that, you know.
I never know where that is. I only know 1 Corinthians 13 because in my sorority, I guess way back when my school was a Baptist college and years gone by, not by the time I got there, but in my sorority, we had to learn that.
Wow.
So that's why
okay.
And, you know, even we never questioned at the time, but afterwards I'm like, hey, that's religious. Hey, what's that doing in school? You know?
Yep.
But it was at the time, you just do what the people in your sorority tell you to do because you're a lowly pledge and, you know.
Right. Well, then I know because I knew I wanted that one for my grand. I knew I wanted to read that for my grandmother's funeral because we were asked if any of us wanted to do anything during the service. And I said I wanted to do one of the readings, and that's what I knew immediately I needed to do. So I was calling on going, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? I didn't have a computer with me, so I was calling back to my church and trying to get people to get me where it was, find it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now I know. But most of them, I have no clue. I kind of have a general idea, but can't quote them.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's pretty cool.
Well, if there are any questions you want to ask since you've got a caller, unless, of course, I'd rather have you have more callers, but if there are any tough questions you want to ask me, I'm game, you know.
We were going to have this discussion off the air, so it's pretty interesting. You're going to throw it on the air. No. If anybody does want to call in, it's 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. You can put something in the chat room. You can put it over in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page if you'd like. Oh, I just realized that I never hit enter on that one. So I never did go in there. Well, you'll find the page in the archive. For folks that are going over there. I mean, I don't know. I guess I kind of like with you on the, I don't have to be in a church, but at the same time, I think when I struggle the most, I do need to be in a church, in a physical building with other people, because it is what holds me into a connection.
Right. And for me, it does the opposite. For me, when things are really bad, it's just got to be me and God because it's too hardcore to be distracted. I've got to go to the source. You know what I mean? As opposed to having any like, I don't want to call it lightweight. That sounds very disrespectful. But to have any sort of mixed thought, because I also... Well, for example, I've always adored the Catholic tradition because, well, I was an art history major in school and I went to school in Europe. So I was faced with, you know, iconography and people all the time that were Catholic. And I've just always had a soft spot in my heart for the religion. But at the same time, I can never be Catholic because the idea of having to go through a person to get to God doesn't work for me at all. You know, and any time that I've tried to go to a person for spiritual stuff, they may know less than me, or they may get me off track, or I don't know. So for when the going gets tough, I go into the wilderness where it's just me and God, and that I know that I'm not getting a diluted or mixed message. It's straight from the source. I know that.
I do. That's fine. I mean, I don't, you know, and I tend to go where I know the people have a similar belief or faith structure at the time, whatever
right.
it is. Like I said, I've evolved over the years. And I struggled too. That is one of the things too, when I grew up, I did grow up Catholic. And that is one of the things that I struggled with is, wait, why can't I just talk to God? You're telling me God's all around. I don't get it. So I did struggle with that. And
you know, I didn't get this stuff till I was an adult. You know, so that makes sense to me.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so now all I got to do is talk to God myself. I can say, hey, God, hey, you screwed up, you know. I'm still this human body. I'm not you. You can't expect me to get it all right. You know, stuff like that. And really have a candid conversation as I would with my buddy on the street. I mean, some people think that's sacrilegious. But at the same time, I'm like, well, you know, I don't want, I it's hard for me to do too, that this God is all punishing. And then if I'm going to screw up, oops, look out, you know, like I used to worry about when Dad was going to come home and what he was going to say, you know, if when I screwed up, because Mom would say, wait till your brother comes home. I can't see God doing that for me in life. So I'd rather just have a chat with God like he's my buddy, you know, and yeah, he's going to correct me, just like a coach. You know, if I'm on a basketball team, if I screw up, you know, I go to the coach and say, okay, I screwed up, and wait for the coach to tell me how to fix it.
Okay, I love that. And I often think of God that way. Well, also, and this is really probably going to rankle some feathers, you know, in the past, I have looked up the words repent and the word sin. And definitions I found were very different than what I had been used to from my mom, my Southern Baptist mom. And again, that worked for her, you know, and that's great. But what I found was the definition of sin was that one of the definitions is that it's an archery term saying that you're off the mark. And that with repent, it means change the way you think. So I'm like, wait a minute. So whenever we're told to quit sinning and repent, basically it's just saying, no, you're a little bit off. Just change the way you think. It's not this big deal. It's not saying you're horrible, you're going to go to hell. It's just saying, oh, no, honey, you're a little bit off. Just like if you know, a friend says, I'd like to introduce my friend Bob, and the friend Bob says, oh, no, my name's Bill. Oh, okay. It doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It was just a little bit off, you know? So
I prefer to be called Bobby or something. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You've known me all my life as this, but everybody else calls me. Yeah.
Yeah, so I get that a lot because, you know, I have a nickname, and people, and so sometimes I'll say my name's Joy, and people say, they call me Joey. I'm like, no, the word joy, like happiness, you know? And so this whole thing starts, but anyway, so people tease me sometimes with the Joey thing, but I'm like, no, but that's okay, it's just a little bit off, you know, but the meaning is very different. So when I realized about those definitions, that really changed stuff for me, because I wasn't anymore like tail between my legs and needed to, you know, really be upset with myself for how I'd screwed up. I'm like, no, it's not a big deal. Just do better. And just like with a coach, you know, a coach says if you're playing basketball, he'll say, no, bend your knees a little more when you're doing your free throws or you know, whatever they tell you, but different stuff. And it's not a judgment call. It's just a little bit of coaching. You know, because they see stuff you can't because they're on the outside. It's just help. It's just helpful. So I love that you mentioned that about the coaching aspect. And that's definitely how I look at God as he's my coach. You know, God's going to show me if there's a better way to do something than I'm doing it currently. And I really personally don't think God's going to yell and scream at me if I did it wrong. Just because I think if God is love, how would love handle that? How would a loving parent handle that? And I can't imagine a loving parent, you know, doing horrible things to me if I didn't have it exactly right. I think they would use love and understanding and sweetness to show me a better way. So I count on that.
You know, I found out too that most coaches that I know need a coach too. You know, if we're talking about personal and business coaches, every one of them that I think are worth, you know, what they're doing, it says, I got a coach too. Well, at that point, you know, you run out of that. But people, and some people say, well, my coach has only been in around 10 years in business. I've been around 25. And I use that coach because there's a newer aspect to it. Or I want to hear some of the newer things that are happening. You know, and it doesn't matter how that works. You know, it doesn't have to be somebody that's almighty powerful above what we think we are. It just has to be somebody we can learn from. and be a better person and better in this world.
Yep.
That's how I look at God. Mm-hmm. And unity looks at reminds us too that sin is exactly just, you know, it's an error in ways. It's not a, you know, now
no sin doesn't mean sin. Yeah.
Right. It's not saying you can go out and steal and you can go kill people and you can. That's something whole different issue, because that's an issue with the law as well.
Right.
You know. So that's a whole different ball game. Sorry, I got some hot sirens going on out here. You know, that's a whole different ball game. That's not just a sin. That's, you know, that's taking other people's lives and that's interfering with them. Not just screwing up something you did because you didn't pay attention.
Right.
I guess the line too. Yeah. All right, let's take this a little different direction. Because one of
Shall
the areas
I
was
bow
doing.
Out? Shall I bow
no.
out?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No, let's have this set. Because, you know, it's because, no, there's not other people sitting on the line, so I just assumed. And I was going to talk about it and figure out where I wanted to head in anyway. You know, there are people who say, why did God let this happen? Why did God let my child die? Why did God let, you know, the 9/11 towers get destroyed? You know, because you brought up things about using that intuition. There's so many people that said, geez, I was supposed to have been in that tower that day, but I wasn't because my kid was sick. I had to stop home for a piece of paper. They blocked the road. The stoplights weren't working, whatever. I mean, there's so many stories that came out of that, in spite of how many people got killed in that and how that impacted. You know, there's those things. There's the bombing. There's the wars. And I say, how could God let that happen? And I guess to me, it's not, just like we were talking about that coach thing, it's not, I don't think it's God that lets it happen. Because we are still a human body. There's still a human mind in us. And we're the ones that let it happen because we don't listen to how we can have peace and love and joy in our life. Instead, we look at somebody offended me, and I'm going to get it back.
Right.
So where are you on that?
Okay, first of all, I have to tell you, this is a little off topic, but I'm just going to say it since I've got you on the air. I think you are wonderful about that stuff. You've told me, or at least I've inferred, let's put it that way, a few things you've been through that I don't think anybody or most people would handle with as much grace. So I think you're a really good example when it comes to stuff like that. So now you know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, well, this is where it gets really weird, and this is stuff I don't talk about with anybody because I think I'd be checked and I think I'd be committed if I did. I personally believe that if we're asking why did God let this happen, we're asking the wrong question, because I don't think God did let this happen. And I think the more we understand the nature of God, the more we experience the good God has in store in direct correlation, that things go better and we see less of the evil stuff. I think it's all a matter of perception. I don't think anything that happens in this human life is fact. I don't think anybody can look at the same situation and see the same thing. I think it's all subjective. And I think you have your experiences based on where you are in your thought. And so I think there will come a time, and I don't mean time like, you know, in years and all that stuff, like I said, not linear time, but I think with each individual, we will at last, when we understand good better, we will understand it so well that that's all that we experience. And this other stuff we will have seen as monsters under the bed, mirages in the desert. I just think it's in direct correlation. And I have witnessed this so many times in my own life that based on where I was with my thought, horrible, horrible situations just evaporated to the point that they're now stories, or I've completely forgotten them. They're just not part of my experience anymore. And good has replaced it in the way I approach stuff to a degree that it's literally the slate is like wiped clean or pretty much. So, but, you know, I know everyone is at a different point with how they look at stuff. So I don't mean to poo-poo the horrible things people go through. I just think if we ask where did evil come from, we'll never get a great answer, because I don't think God made evil. And I think it's the wrong, I think we can't get a good answer because I think we're asking the wrong question. That's the simple version. Well, actually, it should be simple. Anything that worth its salt should be pretty simple.
You know, why did God let that bad happen? Why did God let that good happen? Now, yes, we just went through, you know, God is good and all, everything else. Well, we got, it's really the same thing. It is, in and of itself, you know, somebody going out and, I don't know, helping somebody whose groceries are falling down. You know, whatever. Is that God jumping in and making that happen?
I don't not think to me.
No. No.
To me,
you know,
that's us being us and who we are. Okay, like I said, since I already established I have a Christian, Judeo-Christian tradition, that means that I, you know, that includes the whole Genesis 1 thing. And to me, there are two different stories going on there. Genesis 1 is one thing. Genesis 2 is another thing. In Genesis 2, they fell asleep and never woke up. And every bizarre thing they go through is just like the bizarre stuff we go through in dreams. It doesn't make sense. It's weird. And it's very disjointed. Well, Genesis 1 said God made everything. God made us in his image, or her, however you want to call it, his image and likeness, and everything was good. So to me, the reason we picked up their groceries is because of who we are. That is natural for us to do based on our character as children of good, you know, children created out of love. And I don't think we're these miserable sinners that have all these lessons to learn. I think we're these beautiful, glorious little love bugs. And the more we understand that, the more we express it and manifest it. You know, this whole thing about purpose, I actually don't think anybody has a different purpose than each other. I actually think our purpose is to be us. That's it. Because who we are, is these incredible, glorious, loving, soulful, spiritual, full of life, little babies of God. And so that's enough purpose, because since to me that is our purpose, then we have an infinite way of expressing it that isn't just one thing. I've mentioned to you before that most of the amazing things that have come in my career have never been my dreams. That's why I don't, when people ask, what's your dream? I'm like, I don't have one. Oh, that's too bad. You got it. I'm like, no. It's not because I'm sad and I don't have a dream. It's the opposite. I used to have dreams, but at some point I decided, how can I be of service? How can I be a benefit to my community? And by doing that, I ended up with stuff beyond my dreams. So now I never limit it to my own dreams, because those are limiting. That's like that story of somebody asked God, please just give me a little VW car, I'll be so happy. And God did, but God was like, oh, well, I was going to give you Rolls Royce. You know? Well, I've had that happen in my life. My dreams were far more limiting than the amazing career opportunities that presented themselves when I quit going with my own dreams and went with a bigger picture. So that's why I don't have dreams or try to come up with my purpose anymore, because I think my purpose is to be me. And I think I get to do really cool stuff because of that.
Yeah, you do.
So, I've mentioned before that my two favorite career things I had were beyond, way beyond my dreams, and they remain my favorite things I ever did. But my dreams were far more, my dreams were big, because I tend to have a lot of really unusual, wild, creative ideas. But they were even limiting compared to what came out of it. So, I never limit myself to what I want to do, because there's always something 10 times huger awaiting, and I just go with it. I've got a really cool opportunity that's presenting itself right now, and everyone keeps asking me, are you excited? Do you not sleep at night thinking about it? I'm like, no, I forgot all about it. Totally forgot about it, because it's not a big deal, because it's all a big deal. Getting up in the morning is a big deal, meaning it's exciting. Helping someone with their groceries, to me, is as big of a deal as writing a book or getting a really cool business that you want. It's, one is not better than the other. One's not bigger than the other. It's all the same. Doing the dishes, to me, is no more mundane than some of the wild events I MC at. One isn't better than the other because they're both expressing, to me, godlike qualities. Hanging out with my dog, I'd enjoy doing that at home as much as going to Paris for lunch. They're both great, you know? But one isn't better to me than the other because it's all part of my purpose, which is to be me. And I think everyone you interview is amazing because they're being themselves. I just think that to a great degree, lots of times we have to slough off a lot of impositions as to who we are that have claimed to be us. So the limitations, we're not limited. I don't know if you've ever seen the show Wicked or heard the song Defying Gravity. Oh, it's one of my favorites because it's talking about being unlimited. We're not limited, I don't think. I think the world is our oyster, and what may be our purpose at one time in our life may not be later. But to me, our overarching purpose is to be us, because us is cool.
Well, I agree with you that our purpose can change. Our purpose can change from one time to the other.
Just like, you know, our spirituality, our beliefs can evolve as is needed and as we experience things. I think we've got that similar piece of it. You know, and yeah, if all of us believe that we all had the same purpose and it was only one thing, so I wouldn't have a show. So I'm glad people believe there's another extension to that.
Anything else, or shall I let you have your show?
Well, the other piece that you were saying, too, and I find this one interesting, too, you know, how it's all a perspective Bible that, you know, some people use as a end-all be-all book. Some use it as a guide. Some use it as a metaphor. And how do we look at it and how can we relate it to our lives now? And again, I don't believe that anyone is anything, there's anything wrong with it. You know, and then some have another book. You know, we have there's something like 23 different translations of the Bible based on what people can function in. And I guess I look at that too as it's all a perspective, just like the other things we're saying. You know, what is our perspective on life and what's happening to us right now? Just as we look at all those words and all the books that we read, you know, what is the perspective and from what angle can we look at things?
Yeah, some of the stuff that has taught me the most, and people laugh at me all the time for this, and I'm dead serious, Doctor Who. I learned more from watching Doctor Who as far as how to treat my fellow man and how there's always another solution. It isn't always black and white. It isn't always kill or be killed. You know, I've learned a lot from a little British TV show that's been going for 50 years, I admit it. And I also learned a lot at one point in my life from Lord of the Rings. When those movies came out, I had not yet read the books. I'd always heard of them growing up. But I was raised that the hero of a story was always the one with the big muscles, and he was big and strong and a warrior and had a big sword. Well, Lord of the Rings taught me that that has nothing to do with being the hero. Lord of the Rings showed me how you could be the little supposed nobody with supposedly no skills, no strength, not much going for you, and you can save your world. So I get a lot out of the arts. The arts teach me a lot. And as far as just flat out drop dead inspiration, nothing comes close to music for me. Music is, I've always felt that music was the language of God. And considering that some say math is the language of the universe and music, you know, is very mathematical, I kind of, you know, try to equate them. So I think, you know, I get more inspiration from watching a sunset or hearing the waves lap than I do from you know, a lot of so-called sermons, you know, or whatever it is. So I think we all find inspiration where we need it.
And that works, too. That's true.
You know, since you did end up being an impromptu guest here, I'm going to say if people would like to get a hold of you for further discussion,
Oh, no.
If you'd like to indicate where they can do that, that would be great. And
if
you
really
putting a certain book website, if you'd like.
No, that's okay. If they really feel that, because these are my personal views and they have nothing to do with, and I'm a life coach or anything. And these views have nothing to do with my business. And so, you know, I'm not going to get into the business thing, but if for any reason somebody who listened in feels so strongly that they feel they need to get a hold of me, they can just let me know. But, you know, my whole reason for participating in the show is out of friendship to you and thanks to you for everything you do to support my businesses. And because I think what you're doing is important, really important. And I think we need to support people who do what you're doing, the kind of thing you're doing. So that's why I call in. I'd prefer to have never called in and never had said a word because I like to be behind the scenes, but out of respect for what you're doing, that's why I participate. So I do it kicking and screaming.
Okay, I appreciate that, but I wanted to give you the chance. It's like
oh,
I give anybody
you.
Else.
Nobody needs to know who I am or how to get a hold of me unless someone is in great need and needs some sort of help that they think I could afford. But other than that, no, I'm good being a happy supporter.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Can I go
right.
away now?
Okay. You can. Thanks. I'll put you back on hold.
It's a delight to be part of your provocative topics because I think they're very important and I think you do a lot to help people find the answers they need. So thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for turning the show into more than half an hour with me.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
If my little buttons work properly. Okay. All right, folks, if anybody else would like to weigh in on this, that would be greatly appreciated. Again, 347-205-9074. 347-205-9074. If you do end up listening to this show in the archive, please feel free to come over to the Facebook page, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, and put your comments in there. There is a post pinned to the top that does mention today's show specifically. And you are welcome to comment in that if you have any questions, comments, feedback, whatever. Otherwise, you are free to email me as well at cindy@purposetalkradio.com. So, all of that stuff. I think we had a very interesting discussion today, and I am very glad for it. And thank you, Joy, for calling in and being a part of it. Because I only had so much to say, and it's nice to have some feedback and comments and a little bit of discussion with it. I was hoping that one of my classmates might even have called in today because she was talking yesterday about how her faith tradition is and a lot of myths that are behind it. Maybe someday I will have her on, and she'll think about coming on the actual show and being a part of it because, you know, that is a thing. You know, people think that one person or is their faith and that, you know, because they hear that they believe one way or the other that they're all like statues and stereotypes of each other and, you know, and I'm discovering that that is not really true, you know. He said, I was raised Catholic. Do I subscribe to everything that's there now? No. Do I accept and receive it as my base for my original spiritual upbringing and understanding of God and faith and even traditions? Yeah. Because if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be here now. I've been able to develop my own understanding and my own personal relationship with God, my source, my higher power, my universe, whatever term you want to put on it, that falls and follows for you. And I am so grateful for that. Some people say, well, you're not Catholic anymore. Or you're not this. You're not, well, yes, I was baptized. I was confirmed Catholic. But did I ever leave it? No. Was I ever? I was a child of God, and I still am. And that's where my spirituality, my faith, and all of that does guide me. And I hope it guides you in however you have come to experience that. A lot of us grow up in some spiritual aspect, some religion, some belief structure. Some of us end up worshiping in a church on a weekly basis. Some don't. Some growing up as kids, we did or didn't go. Sometimes our parents wouldn't go to church, but we had to as kids. Now, that wasn't my case, but you know, I know a lot of friends that were that way. You're going to Sunday school, but their parents didn't go to church. But they felt it was important for the children to have some faith, some something to hold on to. And I see it now, too. As they get older, maybe some of them have kept going, some of them haven't. Some older people now end up in churches, you know, out of whatever, they come back to their traditions. And it's very interesting to see the cyclical effect of all of that. And whether you define it as a religion, spirituality, or faith, a self-belief, an intuition, a gut feeling, doesn't really matter. Because it is who you are, who you are living, and who you are being right now in this world, how you show up in the world every day. And I think for most of us, no matter what we call it, it's the core of who we are. And it's the core of what guides us as we show up. Go to work, school, play, interact with our friends, out in the community, or sit alone by ourselves in our room. Whether we play cards, watch TV, go to a football game, it doesn't matter. All of that doesn't matter. It's how we show up and how we have become the person that we are today. How we will show up tomorrow and 10 and 20 years from now. How we did 10 and 20 years ago. Just like we evolve, I think our spirituality evolves. We know beyond a doubt that religions have evolved over the years. For various reasons. You know, like they found the sea scroll, the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's changed the perception of the Bible for some. You know, things happen in the law, and that changes their perception of a certain church or a certain religion. The wars come, and they blame it on one or the other, and their perceptions and people's perceptions are changed. You know what? That really doesn't matter. It's not important. I don't think it is. And I think that's why I brought the topic up today. Like Joy said, she brought up for me. You know, we're all innately good. We all have this peace inside of us that we want to share with the world. But you're all able to do that. And able to be a part of that sharing and that world. Whatever that might mean. So, the deal is, as long as you are who you are, as long as you show up as yourself, and you're true to yourself, your morals, your integrity, I think that's what's important. So, we are looking for more books on ourselves. Friday afternoon. Okay, Let's Talk Radio. We are, again, we're considering going over the blab with the video. Not sure how that's going to work yet if we do that. If we did, we'd like to have that as an interpreted show. But I'd like to have somebody willing to do some of the signing with that. Anyway, in the meantime, so you can reach me at Cindy at Purpose Talk Radio, CINDY at PURPOSETALKRADIO.com. We have also a way that you can market your services, just as TrueVisionsTravel.com is sponsoring our show today. They do specialize in travel for individuals as well as groups, both domestically in the United States and overseas internationally. And they do specialize in travel for people who need individualized accommodation. So if you want to sponsor our show, we do have some openings for that as well. And again, you can just email me to find out details of that, or go to our website, purposetalkradio.com. I invite you to like Purpose Talk Radio on Facebook, as well as join the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group. Again, if you listen to the show in the archives, please do feel free to come comment over there. You do need to ask to be added to the group. I'd be happy to do that. And other than that, folks, I think, you know, we've probably come to an end of the show. And until next week, oh, this song, again, our theme song is I Am Who I Am by True Trinity, which is sung by Jillian Clark, written by Jillian, Rachel Grace, and myself. We do have our positive news song that I love sharing with you as well, just because I do believe that no matter how, again, we show up in this world, we do need to find the positive in everything and anything that we do. As we were just saying, you know, people say, why did God let that happen? Well, if we can find the positive, if we can search for something that is good, and if you choose the word holy or wholesome, we'll find it's not so bad. It's not a why did God let that happen. It's why did we let it happen? Why did we take a perception of, oh, somebody did me wrong, and turn around and do for them? Instead, let's turn around and do the good and be the person who helps the person with the groceries, or find that innate good in everyone. And soon we will find that peace, that joy, that love that we're meant to be. So I give end the show with both songs, Positive News, followed by I Am Who I Am. Both are available at the website truetrinity.com, TRUETRINITY.com. They are also found at truevisionsmedia.org as another site. So until next week, I wish you all soul blessing, and thank you for listening.
This is breaking news just in. The change has finally come. You can hear the voices on the corner shouting, positive news is here today. Positive news every day for the rest of our lives.
I feel a change is coming. We'll be the change that's coming. Let's change perspective and be effective. We'll impact the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel the change is coming. We are the change that's coming. We'll find the positive, replace the negative. We'll see the ripples affect the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. We are the change that's coming. One person at a time, our thoughts will align. We'll see the universe flow, one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. Change is coming. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. We'll be the change that's coming. We'll see the change that's coming. We are the change that's coming. coming. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.